can't believe we're paying to see something we get on TV for free. If you ask me, everybody in this theater is a giant sucker. Especially you!
You're listening to Movie Things with Lindsay and Gary.
Season 3, episode number 7.
And this episode's called...
Ay Caramba, it's the Simpsons movie.
You looked so comfortable saying that there.
It's a bit weird for a Glaswegian guy to struggle that much with a sentence that begins with the word I in it, but I don't think caramba translates particularly well to the Scottish accent.
I feel this is the first time you've actually said the word caramba in a sentence. Or just any time, really. So today, guys, we're going to be talking about The Simpsons movie, which came out in 2007.
It was directed by David Silverman, who also co-directed Monsters, Inc., and he made a bunch of episodes of The Simpsons TV series.
Excellent. The film stars the usual cast from the TV show. It stars Dan Castellaneta, Julie Kavner, Nancy Cartwright, Hank Azaria, and many more.
So do you want to do a bit of a spoiler alert, and then we'll get into The Simpsons movie?
Sure. So if you haven't seen animated comedy, The Simpsons movie... Not very sure how The Simpsons has managed to stay off your radar for as long as it has. But if you don't want us to spoil the plot of the film for you, then be sure to go and watch it and then come back and join us. If you're happy to listen to us chat about it, regardless of whether you've seen it or not, that's cool too. Grab some snacks, settle on in, and let's get started.
So what is your snack of choice for The Simpsons movie?
There are a lot of good snacks in The Simpsons. I have to probably go with... Homer's Donuts, just because, you know, it's always a good time for donuts.
More appetising than a Quickie Mart hot dog?
Yeah, probably.
So, what's The Simpsons all about?
Again, if anyone listening has managed to somehow body swear of The Simpsons, then, you know, congratulations, because that's quite a feat. But this TV show debuted in 1989, and it's actually the longest running sitcom in TV history. It's racked up over 20 Emmy Awards, and it's got a massive following. It's shown in over 70 countries all over the world. They actually had an idea for a movie initially around 1990, but it floated around for almost 20 years before finally getting picked up and made all the way to completion in 2007.
So I read that an episode that I remember from years and years back where Bart and Lisa go to Camp Krusty.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the original ideas for the film, but they couldn't flesh it out enough to turn it into a sort of feature.
Yeah, I heard that they came up with literally hundreds of scripts. I think it was just a case of when you work on a TV show, you're working all the time on it. So setting aside time to make a separate film project must be difficult for the cast and everyone involved in it.
The Simpsons movie comes almost 30 years into the career of The Simpsons, I guess. So what happens in the film?
Right off the bat, everyone in Springfield is at the cinema and they're watching the Itchy and Scratchy movie. Homer immediately breaks the fourth wall by addressing the audience. I can't believe we're in the cinema watching something that we could watch on TV for free. Doing that usual kind of thing that The Simpsons is very well known for being quite self-referential, putting the joke on the audience right away. It then kicks off with the same opening credits as the TV show with that iconic score with added Green Day harmony as well. And then following the theme tune, the film starts off at church.
The Simpsons absolutely love a guest star.
They do that, yep.
So yeah, like you say, we get Green Day playing the theme tune to The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. They then start to give a bit of a sort of, we've been here for 2.5 hours playing all the hits for you. We'd like to speak to you a wee bit about charity. And then everybody just starts lobbing all sorts at them to the point where their stage sinks.
Yeah, so they're playing on a barge in the lake and it sinks Titanic style. So the family arrive at church. And they're late, as usual. Homer doesn't really want to be there, as usual. And Grandpa Simpson starts to predict that something horrible is about to happen to the town and warns everybody. They kind of chalk it up to him, you know, being, you know, a bit of a loose cannon, you know, crazy old grandpa. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And they just kind of bundle him in the car and they go for, I think, pancakes or something. Don't really think anything else of it. The film's got lots of subplots that happen in it, including Homer rescuing a pig from being cruelly slaughtered. And he dumps pig waste in Lake Springfield, which causes the lake to turn into a toxic nightmare, and news of it eventually reaches the White House. In response, Springfield is then encased in a giant dome to prevent the pollution from spreading, and the town find themselves trapped under the dome. And that's kind of where the story begins.
Yeah, so I find the plot of the Simpsons movie quite interesting. I don't think there's anything particularly different about the plot of the movie compared to what you would maybe expect just from like a standard episode.
Yeah.
And the way it sits in like the kind of Simpsons universe is a wee bit weird as well. It's not a season opener, it's not a grand finale, it's not coming after an extended break or anything. And I remember, obviously, we're going back to 2007 now where it came out, but I remember not really knowing what to expect because of that. It just sort of sits randomly amongst seasons and amongst episodes.
I have to say, though, that's one of the things I think that I like most about the film. I think they've done really well with that. I'm pleased that they didn't go down the bigger, louder and uncut route. I don't want to see an extreme version of The Simpsons. I'd much rather it just felt like an extended episode, and that's what I got. So being trapped in the dome means that the town is soon in crisis. Supplies start running low, and the news soon managed to get to the bottom of who the culprit was, and they report that Homer has actually been the one to doom the town. Cue the pitchforks, cue the baying mob, they eventually all swarm towards the Simpsons' home.
And he's not done a very good job of covering things up, eh? So this is the sort of the byproduct of the infamous spider pig chat that you may or may not be a fan of from the film. But basically, Homer's been collecting pig waste in a bit of a silo in his garden.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to get rid of it. So he takes it down to the local river. He dumps it. Really helpfully writes on the silo, "If found, please return to Homer Simpson."
Yeah.
So it's found, and it's not just the silo that's returned to old Homer.
Good evening. This is Kent Brockman. Efforts to find out whose selfish crime against the environment caused our entrapment have been fruitless. Until moments ago, a shocking discovery has been made here at Lake Springfield.
That could be anybody's pig crap silo.
Homer, it was you! You single-handedly killed this town!
I know, it's weird.
Just a reminder, this station does not endorse vigilante justice. Unless it gets results, which it will.
You didn't listen to me after I warned you.
Don't worry, nobody watches this stupid show. What's that ominous glow in the distance?
To escape the town, and actually to escape out of the dome, the Simpsons managed to jump down a sinkhole. And they kind of go on the run at that point. Homer's always had an expectation that at some point he'd ruin their lives and need a backup plan. So his backup plan is for them to go to Alaska and make a fresh start.
You were saying a couple of minutes ago that the film kind of goes off on a couple of different tangents and side stories and things like that. Bart and Flanders have a wee side story.
Yeah.
And Bart and Homer have a bit of a side story. But I thought it was weird that the film doesn't really... It's got this like massively extended running time in comparison to your usual sort of 20-whatever-minute episode. It doesn't really bring in any of the side characters, you know, in any sort of detail, which I think is a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
So, like, the series, to me, started out with, like, a total focus on Bart. And then over time, it kind of veered towards Homer as the protagonist as he became more popular.
Yeah.
The movie, to me, is definitely, like, Homer-focused, and I get why, because he was the main man at the time. But I think you could have went down a couple of wee rabbit holes, maybe with, like, comic book guy, Mo, Milhouse, just to mix things up a wee bit. It's very focused on the family.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many great characters in The Simpsons, and actually, I find that my favourite characters aren't the main family. My favourite characters in The Simpsons are those side characters. Who are some of your favourites?
I think everybody enjoys a wee bit of Disco Stew.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
But yeah, like you say, there's so many. I'm a big fan of Chief Wiggum.
Yep.
I love the mobsters, so a bit of Fat Tony, Johnny Tightlips.
Yeah.
There's some classic characters in there. Like I say, I think it's disappointing that we don't really get anything from anyone like that.
They are there, but they just have like one or two lines and that's it. Like, you know, you've mentioned some of my favourites too. I'm also a big fan of Smithers, Dr. Nick, Troy McClure. Like, I think that there's lots of really great characters in The Simpsons, and they're not the main ones either.
So I was thinking when we were watching this, can you remember what the first episode of The Simpsons you ever seen was?
Yeah, I think it was Homer's Night Out.
Yeah.
Which is the one where he goes to the dancing club.
A classic.
Yeah, I think that was the first one I ever seen. What about you?
I had a wee video that had Bart the General on it.
Okay.
And then I can't remember the title of the other episode, but I think they go camping in it. Mm-hmm. And Homer and Bart get like washed away downriver or something. Yep. Really classic episodes. I love those old ones.
Is that the same episode? No, I don't think it is. One of the first ones I ever seen, I can't remember the title of it, but basically it's the nuclear plant where Homer works. It's like their family annual picnic. And I remember Marge gets absolutely wasted. She turns up, she's made jelly.
Yeah.
But there's just
everybody's made jelly.
Everybody's made jelly. That's the bit I remember the most from that episode. I think that and Homer's Night Out are the two that I remember the most.
Those first few seasons are amazing. And if you're not kind of getting it from my chat and my reminiscing about the older stuff, I much prefer the older classic episodes than I do. By the time we've hit the film, I've kind of checked out of The Simpsons, if I'm honest, in terms of watching and enjoying new episodes. So I think for me, by the time the film came out, the characters had lost a lot of what I think made them really likeable in the early days. I really liked when Homer was a kind of well-meaning doofus. Like, he tried his best, but he was just hopeless. Bart was a wee kind of Dennis the Menace, Kevin from Home Alone type character. Mm-hmm. And Lisa played really well against that as like a total geek, but not quite like full social justice warrior at that point. And then you sprinkled in the side characters we mentioned, like Barney and Otto. And The Simpsons has like the perfect recurring villain in Mr. Burns as well, because he's sort of this domineering figure who lives looking over the whole town, but he's also Homer's boss.
Yeah.
So you have all these like wee elements of villainy that he can bring to it, which is great.
Yeah.
By the time the movie hits, Homer's like so over the top, it's kind of almost unbearable. Marge is just there to like scold him. That's all she does in the later episodes in the movie. Bart's totally lost as well because, and I was thinking this when we were watching it, it's kind of funny, I suppose, but I guess they've tried to make Bart a bit more complex because I think kids just don't find like a game of Chappie as funny as we did. And it is kind of as simple as
a slingshot and a skateboard. Uh-huh.
Like, to us, that was the coolest thing ever. And like, I watched those early episodes and I couldn't wait to get a really cheap knockoff Eat My Shorts t-shirt and stuff like that, because it was just, it was simple and it was fun, but I don't think that lasted.
No, for me, the humour in the film didn't quite hit the mark the same way that those kind of first 10, maybe 12 seasons did. And there's so many episodes of The Simpsons that truly make me laugh, you know, and they make me laugh just as much watching them the 20th time round as the first time. We quote The Simpsons every day. You know, it's worked its way into our vocabulary. You know, that's how much of a kind of pop culture icon that they've become. And the same as you, I grew up watching it. For a full summer, I wanted to know who shot Mr. Burns. I looked forward to the Treehouse of Horror Halloween episodes every year. And when you grow up watching a series like that, it becomes kind of ingrained in your personality a little bit.
So go hit me with some of your favourite Simpsons quotes.
Marge is Lisa at Camp Granada. That's one of my favourite ones. Milhouse saying, "My mom says I'm cool." I don't think I can ever...
"Your mum says you're cool" is easily said around this house, like once, twice a day, I would say.
I don't think we can ever see the monorail at Disney without me singing the monorail song from The Simpsons.
Or "Dental Plan, Lisa Needs Braces" is a classic.
Yep, when Skinner calls, he makes hamburgers at home, it calls them steamed hams. "Back away, not today, disco lady." Like, the list really
you
goes on.
You could just recite Simpsons quotes forever.
And we have. We've spent a lot of time doing that.
It's just perfect. And that's what I love about The Simpsons. It's not social commentary. It's not guest appearances. It's just really daft one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I'm in for.
It's the underrated little jokes. It's not the massive slapstick pieces or the bits that form the main plots of the episodes that make me laugh. It's the things that are going on in the background that you're not supposed to notice, you know, maybe unless you're looking for it really hard. And it's humour like that that I'd really appreciate. I think there just wasn't enough of that.
So is this a good time for me to drop my fact, though?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. So we've talked a wee bit about some of our favourite quotes from the TV series. I think the one that's probably most permeated the common vocabulary is Homer's simple dough.
Yeah.
So much so that the word was actually included in the Oxford English Dictionary back in 2001. So dough is defined as expressing frustration at the realisation that things have turned out badly or not as planned, or that one has just said or done something foolish. It also implies that another person has said or done something foolish. The now famous phrase was scripted only as annoyed grunt in early episodes of the series, and the sound came from the voice of Homer, Dan Castellaneta, taking influence from a Scottish actor called Jimmy Finlayson, who appeared through the Laurel and Hardy films of the 30s. Finlayson used the term in place of damn, which was obviously unacceptable language in the standards of that day. You would think that such a simple phrase as dough would be totally universal.
Yeah.
But it's actually been modified for Simpsons showings around the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So in France, Homer's famous catchphrase is actually toe with a T. In Spain, it's oi. In Germany, nine. And in Japan, and I'm probably going to absolutely
butcher this.
Aye. It's shimata bakini.
Wow. That sounds actually really nice. The way you say it might not be the way that it's actually said, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
I just tried to say it really quick.
Yeah. So that's a really cool thing about making a TV show. You never know where it's going to go, and you don't know what's going to stick in terms of being catchphrases.
And then which characters, I guess, are going to develop and get big over time. Because like I was saying, it's a wee bit like Friends, where Joey was kind of not the main draw initially, but became it later. Yeah. And I think that's what happened in this. It was all Bart. And all the merch was Bart. And I remember when we were kids and this first came out, and like every shop was just flooded with Bart merchandise.
Yeah.
And then over time, it just all became about Homer.
Yeah. I remember getting those kind of knockoff Simpsons t-shirts from Blackpool or whatever, and the colours of their clothes wouldn't be quite right.
Yeah, that's totally like, I think I got a Bart t-shirt from St. Andrews. His outfit was completely wrong, but it said eat my shorts, he had a slingshot, it was close enough.
Yeah, you could argue that it was Bart Simpson. So let's get back to the plot. The Simpsons are now in Alaska, starting their fresh new lives. And back in Springfield, it's day 93 under the dome, and the town really starts to take a turn for the worse. They start rioting, hammering away at the dome in a desperate attempt to try and escape it. And the government, again, see that things have really taken a turn for the worse, and they decide to blow up the town to try and get rid of it and market it as a new Grand Canyon. For tourists.
Fair enough.
The Simpsons happened to see the advert for the new Grand Canyon on TV, like in a kind of coming soon kind of capacity. And Marge insists that they need to try and go back and save the town and their neighbours, because that's just the right thing to do. And Marge always does tend to be the kind of moral compass of the show. Homer refuses to join Marge and the kids, so they head home without him. In their absence, Homer has an epiphany that he should care about other people, that without other people, he's nothing, and he races back to try and help them. And when Marge, Bart, Lisa and Maggie find themselves back in the town, it's pretty rough. My favourite part of that act in the film is Mo, who is cutting about in his bathrobe and declaring himself as the Emperor of Springfield. And only Mo could really get away with doing that.
All bets are off at that point.
He's got people shouting, "No, you're not," at him from the shadows. And the final act of the film involves a race to try and save the town before the government achieve their goal of blowing it up.
Homer, what the hell are you doing now? Risking my life to save people I hate for reasons I don't quite understand. Gotta go. First one stop. Bart, son, you think you could find it in your heart to give your foolish old man one more chance?
It seems to me, son, that your father's saying that he wants to spend his last minute with you.
No, I can't do it. I want a father who's the same in the morning as he is at night. What's that word?
Consistency!
Thanks, losers. Sorry, Homer.
I'll let you hold the bone.
The man knows me.
I wish Homer was my father.
And I wish you didn't have the devil's curly hair.
I feel like we've seen all the wee elements that make up that bigger plot in earlier episodes. There's been loads of times when the Simpsons have been ran out of town.
Yeah.
There's been loads of times when Marge and Homer have kind of split up, yep, and then he's kind of seen the light and came back.
Mm-hmm.
There's been loads of times when Bart's been looking for like a bit of a father figure elsewhere. Yeah.
There's another subplot that we've not touched on, mainly because I know we both share the opinion that Lisa's quite lame, but she has her own subplot where she meets the perfect boy. And again, that's happened a couple of times as well.
And are there any good Lisa subplots?
I did like the Bleeding Gums Murphy episode.
I'll give you that. But yeah, I feel like watching the Simpsons movie, I was saying earlier that when we watched it for the first time, I remember going in thinking, where does this sit in the Simpsons universe and why am I interested by it? And then I watched it and I was like, I still don't really understand that. And then having watched it again there, it still doesn't really bring anything particularly new to the table.
Mm.
I think one thing I would say that's really positive in it is I think the animation looks really, really good.
Yeah, there's a really good moment where Bart's skateboarding through the town and the way the camera pans from above the buildings looks almost like it's in 3D. Like, it looks really, really cool.
It definitely brings a couple of new elements in terms of, like, visual dynamics.
Yeah.
But story, plot, character, I don't think it really brings anything new to the table.
No, I would agree with that.
But it's difficult, I suppose, because I was thinking when we were watching it, can you think of any TV shows that have successfully transitioned to, like, a feature-length movie?
Yeah, it's difficult.
Beavis and Butthead Do America, I think, is pretty good.
Beavis and Butthead Do America, I like more than a lot of the normal episodes of it. I think it's a great film.
That's a good example of when you've got like a kind of tight TV show that doesn't really stray too far, because they're either on their couch at work or at school,
mm-hmm,
and then they really did use the movie to go a bit wider and go a bit bigger, and that really worked, I think. But like I was saying, I think with the Simpsons movie, it's just that feeling that I've seen every wee element that's gone on here. I've not, granted, seen it all joined together in this way, but it's not really done anything particularly innovative for me. But yeah, I think it's tough to go from something that, I mean, there's like 600 and odd episodes. I'm asking for a lot by saying go and do something original now, but
yeah. Do you remember the first time we seen the Simpsons movie? Because I remember it really clearly. We went to the Grosvenor cinema to see it, and the day before I'd done stock take when I worked in the shop, and my face had swollen up because I'd had this horrendous allergy to the dust when I was doing like the stock take.
I'm really glad I've not been set up here. I was like, no, I totally don't remember, and it's going to have been like a pure special anniversary or something, isn't it?
No, but absolutely not.
No, you just had an inflated face.
Yeah. I think one of my eyes was pretty much swollen shut at that point. And
wore a mask.
And I remember as we were about to watch it again recently, did I have a poor opinion of the film because I associated it with a day where I was not at my best? I was feeling quite rough and I was looking quite rough as well. So I wanted to watch it again with a clear mind and a clearer face to see if it had improved any. But I have to say, it just doesn't quite hit the mark with me. I think for me, I would rather spend 90 minutes just watching my favourite handful of episodes of The Simpsons than watching the movie. Which I know sounds really harsh because a lot of work went into it. You know, Matt Groening and the writing team, they kept everything very hush-hush while they were writing and producing the film. I was reading that after every run-through of the script, the producers actually shredded the script copies so that nothing would leak out, and they keep things under wraps and throw people off the scent even further. The writers would actually leak false details of the story to the press to try and keep them from revealing the real plot to the public. So
it's really weird though, because like then when you watch it, you're like, what is it they're hiding? So there's no big character death.
Mm-hmm.
There's no massive out the box or nobody will see this coming.
Yeah.
So it's really weird to me that they would go, I get it, because you're doing a movie, it is bigger than doing a TV show, a lot of work does go into it, and like we say, the animation and that looks great, so nobody's doubting the amount of effort that's been put in, but it's just, you're not really bringing anything new that must be kept under wraps, yeah. I don't think.
So I've got a couple of questions for you. So we've talked about our favourite characters in The Simpsons. Who's your least favourite character?
Probably Ned's wife.
Maud Flanders. That's, do you know what worries me is how quickly you answer that thing. Like, It's like me with Jesse from Toy Story 2.
I'm not a fan of Maud, Rod or Todd.
You don't like Rod and Todd?
You do?
Oh, I think they're really funny.
I am not a fan of them. Not a fan of Patty and Selma.
Okay, fair enough.
They're the ones where if there's episodes like particularly focused on them, I'll skip.
Yeah, fair enough.
What about you?
Probably Lisa.
Just Lisa.
Yeah.
Lisa? I get it, but like I was saying earlier, I think Lisa's like good, kind of like...
She's a good counterbalance.
Yeah, exactly.
But when it's a Lisa episode, with the exception of the Bleeding Gums Murphy one, some of the Lisa episodes are basically carried, in my opinion, by classmates like Ralph and Milhouse. I think that they make those episodes worthwhile.
Yeah, but I think Lisa gives you some really good like Homer and Bart type moments, just like you say, as that kind of counterbalance, because I think the one, it probably is the Bleeding Gums Murphy one or one in the lead up to that where she's getting her saxophone and stuff like that. It gives you great Homer as a failing dad stuff, which I really enjoy.
Yeah. Is this your favourite animated TV show?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because for me, like, it's going to sound pure grand here and I don't really mean it, but I loved The Simpsons and then I completely went 180, whatever, and I don't watch The Simpsons anymore and I haven't for years.
Mm.
If we were just singling off, like, the first 10 seasons, I'd say probably yes.
Yeah.
But if you take the whole thing into account, you've probably got about 8 seasons that I haven't really paid attention to. Mm-hmm. So it's tough to say something that has, like, 8 full seasons of content that you're not bothered in the least about is actually like your favourite. So, but I don't know if there's anything animated that I like more. I've got some like kind of classic cartoons from my childhood that I love, but The Simpsons through that first run was like elite.
Yeah.
Like there's so much in there, like you say. I'm not a big fan of the daft stories and stuff like that. It's the one-liners, it's the stupid wee behaviours of the characters, but it's just moments for me all the time in The Simpsons.
Definitely.
It's very rare that, and I think that works because there's not much goes through the season in terms of threads, so it's not the kind of seasons where like one episode has a knock on to the other, Everything just sort of happens in isolation. Everything's
it's all tied
quite
up.
Elastic. And I like that because that allows you just to enjoy daft wee moments here and there, and it lets you I just dip in and out now. Like pick random episodes. The other day I was watching the one where Bart doesn't take his permission slip to school, so he can't go on the school trip to the chocolate factory, and then he just ends up in with the mob, which is just so daft but so good. And then he's cutting about in like a Rat Pack suit singing Sinatra songs, and it's wee bits like that are just great. I don't really care about the whole like Bart the delinquent element of it. I don't care about the school trip, but just him clicking his fingers and calling his mum doll with a suit on in the kitchen is brilliant. What about you?
I think The Simpsons is definitely the blueprint for a lot of great like animated comedy programs. There's loads that I enjoy. Like, I love Bob's Burgers, seasons 1 to 4 of Family Guy. You know, I know I sound really elitist, like picking out.
We're very much
seasons,
doing the whole like I was into a band before they were cool thing.
Before they were in the charts.
That's what it is.
And you know, more recently, shows that I've got into are things like Archer. So I think animated comedy for me is something that I've always really liked, and I'm continuing to find shows now that are being created that still do it for me and that I still enjoy. So I think it's an overlooked genre, and I'm glad we're doing this episode today because I think it's good that we're getting an opportunity to chat about The Simpsons and some of these other shows too.
So bringing us back onto the Simpsons movie then, what would you rate it?
I really like The Simpsons, as we've talked about. I really love the first 10 or so years. I think that there's a lot of things about the film that they've done well. As we discussed, I like that they didn't stray too far from the formula. I like that they didn't make it super extreme. But I just didn't laugh when I watched this film. And it really is as simple as that. When I watch old episodes of The Simpsons, they make me laugh out loud. And I quote them. And for me, the film was very forgettable. And that's quite unusual and not what I was expecting about it. So it kind of pains me to say it, but it's a 4 out of 10.
Harsh.
Yeah, I know. It's not a rating on The Simpsons in general. It's just a rating on the movie.
On the movie, yeah. You've got to rate it on the movie. Yeah, because if I was rating The Simpsons, you're right up at the 9s and 10s. I'm rating the movie, so I've gave it 3. It sounds really harsh, but I think the film peaks when Ralph sings the 20th Century Fox theme before the opening credits even start.
Yeah.
That's the only bit that made me laugh through the whole film. I was hoping that watching it again this week with like lower expectations, I've totally avoided this movie since it was released.
Yeah.
And I hoped that that would mean I'd be kind of pleasantly surprised and realise that it's actually better than I gave it credit for.
That's the thing. I thought, you know, I wasn't having a particularly good day when we watched it. So I tried to go back to it and think, well, maybe it was just the situation I was in at the first watch, you know. But yeah, even after that revisit, I'm still not a fan.
Nah, it's rubbish. There's not even like a wee kind of snigger in it for me. There's nothing. The series lost me, like I mentioned, when it veered towards that constant kind of celebrity cameo and that kind of mean-spirited Ricky Gervais style comedy. Really isn't my cup of tea. That isn't why I loved the early seasons and the early episodes of the show. The movie's definitely more in that vein. And for that reason, I've given it a bit of a shocker of a rating. To be fair, anything that runs over 600 episodes is likely to have like waves in quality, but it's been a long time since I've enjoyed anything new from The Simpsons.
Yeah, but the beauty of it is that there's such a great back catalogue that you can dip into, and you know that if you pick something out of one of those kind of first 10 to 12 seasons, you're going to enjoy it, whether it's the first watch or the 101st watch. Not our highest scores to date.
But like you say, we love the series. We've got tons of chat out of the old quotes and stuff like that. And there's so much there for people to go back and revisit constantly. Just best avoid the film.
Yeah. Or at least we'll be avoiding the film. We would love it if you could come and join us on social media and geek out over your favourite Simpsons characters, your favourite Simpsons quotes. And let us know if you feel the same way about the film or if you absolutely loved it. Come and join us on Instagram and Twitter.
At Movie Things Pod, and if you could leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts, that would be magic. And if you're enjoying Movie Things, tell your pals.
Yeah, so that's our show, guys. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.